Grace to you and peace from God our Father and from our Lord and Savior Jesus Christ. Amen. Christ is risen. He is risen indeed. Such a plain, simple statement. A statement of faith, a statement of what we understand, especially in this season. A statement that gives us joy as we continue to hear God's word. The gospel lesson for today serves the basis for that, and I would share with you again two of those verses that help us to understand our message for today. Jesus said, I came from the Father and have come into the world, and now I am leaving the world and going to the Father. His disciples said, Oh, now you are speaking plainly. Jesus said these things to them that they may believe and have peace. In the world you have tribulation, but take heart, I have overcome the world. This is our text. We live in a world that specializes in doublespeak. Doublespeak happens when words are distorted or changed or switched to make an unpleasant, tricky, or otherwise negative statement or situation sound not as awful. For example, some of the doublespeak words that we hear today in our world around us: downsizing instead of firing people, reducing costs instead of cutting salaries, pre-owned as opposed to used and possibly beaten up, well-loved instead of old and worn out, enhanced interrogation in place of torture. These are some of the doublespeak words we hear in our society today, and many times we have to listen closely to gather that doublespeak message that is being offered to us. Jesus and his disciples are on the verge of some very unpleasant events. Jesus' earthly ministry is soon to come to a close. The betrayer has already made his plan, and even now he is bringing the soldiers to arrest Jesus. The Lord will be charged, tried, convicted, all in one night. By 9 o'clock the next morning, he'll be hanging on a cross. By 3 o'clock, he will be dead. Though his disciples will see him again in just a few weeks, his return to the Father is also just weeks away. These are unsettling events for them. As they've witnessed, as they've experienced Jesus' suffering and death, that Jesus is going to soon be leaving them. But Jesus speaks plainly to his disciples to give them peace in him. Jesus gives plain talk about our problems as well. He tells us plainly, like the disciples, that we think we have things figured out, but we really don't. Jesus is leaving. He says it plainly. I came from the Father and have come into the world, and now I am leaving the world and going back to the Father. He spoke this plainly to his disciples, and his disciples said, now you are speaking plainly and not using figurative speech. Now we know that you know all things, that we do not need anyone to question you. This is why we believe that you came from God. His disciples thought they understand about God. They understood God's purpose in his son Jesus, who had been among them, but their understanding remained inadequate. The disciples said, yeah, sure, Lord, we understand. And Jesus asked them in our gospel lesson today, do you now believe? As if to say, no, you really don't. You don't yet understand the cross. Disciples will have troubles in this world. Within hours, they will have scattered as their Lord is arrested, as he is tried. Even after the resurrection, they will have tribulation. Disciples think they know, but really, they don't know yet. And this will have consequences for them. Jesus tells us plainly. And like the disciples, so many times we too fail him. That's what the cross is all about. Jesus earning forgiveness for every time that you let God down. Jesus speaks this plainly. Now you believe. Just wait. As often as we assume that the picture that we have of faith, that we trust in our Lord, our everyday experiences don't always reflect that understanding and that confidence in God's providing for us, God's forgiveness for us. When we don't acknowledge the source of our blessing, holding that the credit belongs to our efforts. When we fail to live as forgiven sinners, sinners who have been forgiven by Jesus, thus able to live in joy and peace and forgiveness towards others. When we fail to forgive each other as our Savior has forgiven us, we go our own way rather than remain faithful to our Savior. And Jesus tells us plainly, like the disciples, we will have tribulation in this world. You've experienced that tribulation. You know what those hardships are like, what those trials are like, that you have not always been as faithful and as forgiving as your faith seems to be telling you you are. You'll be scattered. You'll be troubled in so many ways. Now that one you've got right, Jesus, now we understand. We experience sufferings and hurts in our relationships with family members and co-workers and neighbors and even our fellow church members. We have setbacks in our health, require medications, surgery, preventative care, recovery, therapy. Our financial world seems always to be under attack as costs continue to escalate while marketing income is constantly absorbing and shrinking. Jesus points out the impending failure of the disciples, not just to crush them, not just to crush us, but that they may have peace. The only kind of peace that we can understand and have in this world. I have said these things to you that in me you may have peace, Jesus says. The devil, our sinful world, ourself, will keep us from being the disciples that Jesus calls us to be. We deserve nothing more than from him to turn his back on us. But he never does. He never forsakes us. He never leaves us. As far off as we go in our faith and are not living in that faith. Instead, as our risen Lord, he assures us well that we are at peace in him. Jesus gives plain talk about our peace. I have said these things to you that in me you may have peace. In the world you have tribulation, but take heart. I have overcome the world. How many times in the last few months have you clicked on a website's little box, asking whether you are accepting the terms, the conditions of the use of that website and its services? And as soon as you open that, are you reading through the terms, or are you skipping through those and not reading them, and you just click and go on? Most of us point and click. Our eyes glance at the words, but we never really read through them. The words of description about what we should accept or not accept. It's all frying pan. It's all confusing. We don't have time for that. We like plain talk. And that's what we get from Jesus today. Here's the plain truth. I have overcome the world. He says that and he means it. He means what he says. He has overcome the world. And together with that, he has overcome the devil. He has overcome our sinful nature. In that victory, we have peace. No terms or conditions that we have to punch and say, I accept. Just peace through his grace. I have overcome the world. I leave the world not in defeat and death, but in victory. In the middle of this pericope in verse 28, we find a lovely creedal statement, where Jesus says, I came from the Father and have come into the world, and now I am leaving the world and going to the Father. It's kind of statements that we have as we speak the Nicene Creed. recorded some 1700 years ago when the Council of Nicaea first met in 325, or when we speak the Apostles' Creed, statement of our faith. This is what Jesus is speaking. I have come into the world, and I have now leaving the world, and I'm going to the Father. I came into this world. If I understand that right, that's the eternal God. John says in his gospel, in the beginning was the Word, and the Word was with God, and the Word was God. He was in the beginning with God. All things were made through him, and without him was not anything made that was made. In him was life, and the life was the light of men. I have come into the world, just as John tells us in his gospel. I have come into the world. That means that the Word, Jesus, became flesh to become part with us. God becoming flesh and blood, like us. The Word became flesh and dwelt among us, and we have seen his glory, glory as of the only Son from the Father, full of grace and truth. I came from the Father into the world, and now I am leaving the world. He would be lifted up on the cross in his crucifixion, that whoever believes in him would have eternal life. I have come from the Father into the world, and now I am leaving the world and going back to the Father. After his resurrection, Jesus said to Mary, go to my brothers and say to them, I am ascending to my Father. Jesus speaks plainly. He tells us plainly what he has come to do for us. He has come from the Father into this world, taking on flesh and blood, to be lifted up on the cross for our forgiveness and salvation, to rise again and ascend to be with his Father once again. Jesus speaks plainly for us. Christ's victory is given to us through the means of grace, that in his word, in holy baptism, as we will experience in the second service this morning, in the Lord's Supper, as his body and his blood are given to us, in these means of grace, God is speaking to us that we might have peace in him. The sin that separated us from God is forgiven. We are reconciled to the Father. That is peace. The means of grace renewed to us live each day. If we confess our sins, God, who is faithful, will forgive our sins and cleanse us from all unrighteousness. And to that, Jesus speaks those words that we hear repeated to us. Almighty God, in his mercy, has forgiven his Son to die for you, and for his sake, forgives you all your sins. In the name of the Father, and of the Son, and of the Holy Spirit. And as a result, we speak clearly to the Father in Jesus' name. Whatever you ask of the Father in my name, he will give it to you. Being reconciled to God, being forgiven to God, being with God once again, we are able to speak freely to him. And God hears our every cry. God hears our cry concerning our hurts and our relationships with others. And he continues to assist us in loving one another in all of our needs. God hears our prayers when we have setbacks in our health and invite his assistance in our physical needs. God hears our concerns for our financial needs, and he promises daily to take care of us in all of those needs. Rest in the peace of the words that we hear from Psalm 55. Cast your burden on the Lord, and he will sustain you. He will never permit the righteous to be moved. My heart is in anguish within me. The terrors of death have fallen upon me. But I call to the Lord, and the Lord will save me. Evening and morning and at noon, I utter my complaint and moan, and he hears my voice. He redeems my soul in safety from the battle that I wage, for many are arrayed against me. Or here again, the encouraging words of Martin Luther. From these words, we gather that we should not be concerned or worried about our own unworthiness, but should forget about our both worthiness and unworthiness and base our prayer on Christ and pray in his name. Christ wants you to pray in his name. You have his command and his promise. But by telling you to pray in his name, he also exhorts and begs you. It is as though he were saying, my dear friend, it does not matter in what condition you are. If you cannot pray on your own authority and in your name, as indeed you should not, then please pray in my name. If you are not worthy and holy enough, let me be holy and worthy enough for you. This is a God who loves us, a God who proved his love for us, who showed his love for us in all that he came to do. As I have come into the world from the Father to live among you in flesh and blood, and now I am going back to the Father. And all he did during that time, I have overcome the world, Jesus tells us plainly this morning. This is our peace as we live out our calling as Jesus' disciples. There is no doublespeak, no mixed message here. Just plain talk from the Savior who died and rose to make you his own. Christ is risen. He's risen indeed. Hallelujah. May that peace of our God, which continues to surpass our human understanding, keep your hearts and minds in that faith in our risen Christ unto life everlasting. Amen.